Blog Talk Radio.
Show. As always, we hope we find you in the best of health, love, happiness, and good spirits. Today, we are actually blessed. We have the pleasure of having Miss Niecy Bennett. Miss Niecy Bennett is a phenomenal human being. She's also a healthcare provider. And today, she's going to talk to you guys about being prepared for any emergency and any event that may happen in your life, or like a catastrophe or any things along that nature. Niecy's a nurse and also a die-hard professional when it comes to this particular area of subject. So, again, I don't want to take up any more of her time. Niecy, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm always all right till I can do better.
Yeah,
anyway,
same here.
Huh?
I said same here.
I hear you. We kind of missed you the other day, but that was then and this is now, so let's go ahead and move forward. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. My biggest attribute, I think, to anything that I do is that I am a mom of five. My children are 18, 13, 6, 9, and 2. So that keeps me very busy. And pecking order, the next thing that I do that I love is being a nurse and assisting people in my specialties, which is emergency preparedness.
Outstanding. And you're going to share a lot of information today with us on helping us to make ourselves better prepared, and also to get rid of some of the people out there that are putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and then they won't be prepared when something happens. So start off with why this is so important, please.
Well, the truth of the matter is a lot of times people can't recover from any type of emergency, whether it's just a small mishap like a flat tire, or it's a true catastrophe and their homes have been wiped off the map. And the reason people can't recover is because there was no preparedness involved. Unfortunately, we've kind of been brainwashed to think that preparedness is this huge undertaking that takes, you know, weeks and months of planning and thousands of dollars to be ready for, you know, doomsday, this big, you know, happening event. And a lot of times it's just the everyday little things that we can do that will actually make such a huge difference in our recovery from any type of emergency.
Right. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not just talking about the 9/11 things or an earthquake or anything like that. We're talking about those things too, but also your day-to-day things, like a little emergency in your house, or just in case something goes out, like your power goes out or your water goes out, being prepared so that you can do the next thing, or just giving basic first aid. Continue, please.
Absolutely. I try to tell people that if you start small, you can build your way up to whatever your preparedness is that you're comfortable with. Like we were saying, a lot of times people think it's a huge event that we have to prepare for. Simple things like knowing how to change a flat tire. Imagine being on the road and not knowing how to change your flat tire and no good Samaritan stopping to help you. That could be what would have been an hour issue turned into an all-day thing. And that, you know, is given that the weather is in perfect condition and that you've got tons of gas and the exit is right off of where you had to pull off. So simple things like that can truly change the direction that we focus our lives on. If you just take a few moments every time you go to the grocery store and pick up one simple thing to add to a preparedness kit. A lot of people think you have to have, you know, a shed in the back that's full of water and MREs and, you know, tons of canned goods. And a lot of times it's not really that in-depth. We experienced in Northern Virginia this past summer when the power went out, and it wasn't out for a couple of hours. It was actually out for weeks for some people. simple things like having an extra propane tank for grilling or charcoal for grilling allow you to provide meals for your family. So it's not always the huge things that we have to prepare for, but the small things. As a mom of five, I feel like I'm always in the stage of being prepared for something, whether it's a soccer game or a chorus concert or just simply taking a trip to the mall. There's a lot of prep work that goes into it. My kids range all the way across the span of ages. So I don't just have something for the two-year-old. I also have things for my 13-year-old daughter. And so it's simple mindset like that. You know, I tell new parents, when you go out of the house with your newborn, you always take a diaper bag. You don't take that diaper bag for fashion. You take it for the just-in-case, for the emergencies. If the baby throws up, you have an extra set of clothes. If you run out of formula, you have an extra bottle in the bag. So things like that is the mindset that we need to change. There are tons of lists, tons of doomsday preppers that have survival guides, and I think that those things are great on extreme levels, but I think that what happens is we become overwhelmed by having, you know, 120 items to check off, to put in our kit that says that once we have those items, then we'll be prepared. But the truth of the matter is, I tell a lot of people when we're talking about creating kits to do things like starting off with a bag. The reusable grocery store bags are perfect. They're fairly sturdy. You can kind of fold them up anywhere. You can find them anywhere, very reasonable price. And start with an 8-ounce bottle of water. Every time you go to the grocery store, throw a bottle of water in there. The next time you go, maybe get a packet of tuna fish. If you have kids, maybe a couple of different crackers or cookies that they like. But what will happen is it's your mindset. It's a lifestyle. Just like if you're trying to lose weight or become healthy, it's a lifestyle that you have and being prepared, not so much for the big things all the time, but also for the small things.
Outstanding. And you were talking about getting a list of things. Where would you say is one of the best places to get, you know, one of those lists for somebody that might want to start, you know, taking your advice and doing those things?
Well, of course, you know, I'm a FEMA instructor, so I absolutely will say go to ready.gov. The list is large, but you don't have to put everything in the list today. Start with water. Is what I always say, because we can't live without it, so I always start with water. And, you know, a couple of snacks to kind of get you thinking about it. And then you can start with a first aid kit. A lot of first aid kits, they have anything from 50 to 500 pieces of items in the kit. The truth of the matter is you only need about 10 items. Anything more than that, then you need to see a doctor. So, of course, Band-Aids. Antiseptic wipes, tweezers for splinter removal, like for glass or anything like that. Some tape, like some surgical tape that can easily be ripped without scissors. A bandage wrap is great. I always say if you have kind of a sheet, like a handkerchief or two in there, that's perfect too, because if you need to tie up a wound or anything like that, you have that available to you. And one of my favorites is regular old-fashioned petroleum jelly. There's nothing in it, just petroleum. There's nothing fancy about it. It's very inexpensive. But the thing about it is you can use it for so many things. In an emergency situation, if someone is bleeding and it's just a little scrape, you can actually throw some petroleum over the scar, and it will kind of occlude the bleeding. It will kind of stop the bleeding like a bandage if you don't have one. It's one of the number one things I advise in every diaper bag is just a little bit of petroleum, because there's so many different uses for it. The other thing that I advise is WD-40. It actually has 1,001 uses, and it just kind of simplifies everything. If you can find one item that you can use for multiple different things, it'll just make any situation a lot easier.
Okay.
So I don't recommend getting the huge kit. I recommend getting a container and putting in the kit what you need, your first aid kit.
So building your
own. I'm sorry?
So building your own is what you recommend.
Absolutely, because unfortunately, when they make these kits with, you know, 200 pieces, they're just kind of throwing darts in the air to kind of see what you might need. I have purchased kits or had kits given to me that have snake bite, you know, kits in them, and I don't foresee me needing them in an emergency situation, so I wouldn't invest the time in purchasing a kit that has that. Unless you're going camping, then obviously it's something that you want to have, but that's a completely separate type of kit.
Okay. Okay. So a basic kit to start off, get this sheet and actually build your own kit. I know there's another area that you really are passionate about and would like to talk on. I know that's what, CPR and first aid?
Absolutely. I have been blessed to be an American Heart Association ambassador, which allows me to teach people about the importance of learning CPR. American Heart has kind of revamped their entire image and made it very user-friendly, not just for us instructors, but for the general public as well. So it used to be years ago, if you learned CPR, it was because you needed it for your job, whether you were a lifeguard or a healthcare provider. And the teaching was done in a very sterile environment. It was almost nerve-wracking, even for a medical professional, to go in and get the training for this. And what they've done is they've made it very family-friendly, very user-friendly. I teach a lot of classes, and a lot of people that had it years ago always leave thinking, gosh, that's it. And it's the same material. It's better information, better resources, but it's delivered in such a much easier format to follow. One of the huge changes that they've made is creating hands-only CPR, because we know now that the opportunity exists for an increased rate of survival the sooner someone helps or sooner someone starts performing CPR. And we have this kind of bystander thing where we just assume someone else is going to jump in, or, you know, is there a doctor in the room and magically a doctor will appear. And a lot of times that is just not the case. And so we are really strongly pushing this hands-only, because we know that when people feel comfortable with doing a little bit, they'll do a little bit more. Just like if you think about social media, when Facebook first got out, people were comfortable with doing just a little bit on there. But once they got into it and they were comfortable with it, they post everything and, you know, all types of information, videos and things like that. And that's kind of how we look at doing CPR. We want people to be very comfortable with knowing that you can actually save someone's life by jumping in when you see someone become unresponsive. And basically since, you know, the birth of publicly teaching CPR, there hasn't been a greater increase in survival rate since we started the hands-only CPR. And, of course, the combination of starting with compressions first. So, of course, the steps, if it's an adult, is to call 911 or have someone else call 911 if you're not by yourself. Put your hands in the center of the chest, push hard, push fast, and that's simply it. And you do that until you can no longer do it or until someone else comes to relieve you, whether it be another bystander or advanced emergency personnel. Now, for children and infants, it's a little bit different because they typically have issues with respiratory. So we still recommend giving the breaths and the compressions, but still starting off with compressions is definitely the way to go. By default, there's an exchange of oxygen. So it's just a huge, huge opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. I know people are often afraid, well, if I do it wrong, or what if I crack a rib? And I always say, you know, change it. Change that person that you don't know to your mom or your child. Would you want someone to just kind of stand by and watch and fearful of doing anything, or would you want them to attempt to save their life? And I know for me, I always say, crack my rib. I'll be okay with a cracked rib, but I can't thank you if I'm not here. So,
that's very good. And ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking with Ms. Nikki Bennett. And Nikki Bennett is a, of course, healthcare provider and specialist. And she's also a nurse that specializes in infectious diseases, patient safety, and is with the American Heart Association, and she's an ambassador and instructor for them. And she also teaches medicine administration for the Virginia Department of Social Services and Child Care. And she's a phenomenal individual. If you'd like to call in and speak with Nikki today, you know, or go into the chat room. The chat room is open, and the phone number is 323-443-7471. Again, that's 323-443-7471 if you'd like to speak with Nikki. But with that said, Nikki, please continue to dazzle us with all this information that we need.
So I encourage people, of course, to learn CPR, first aid. You can go to American Heart Association and search for classes in your area. Of course, American Red Cross is available as well. I do recommend that you go to someone that is accredited because their resources and their information is also accredited, as opposed to these kind of only online trainings where you're not really sure where the information is coming from. You can also use your certification for employment or school and things like that. And with the other ones, you can. We really want to have the good, solid resources being distributed. So we always recommend an accredited agency to get your training from. But there's tons of ways that you can kind of learn how to prepare your own family. I'm a member of CERT, which is Community Emergency Response Team, and they're all over the country, and they have programs probably they typically do training once a quarter, depending on the size of the community and the demand for it. But they actually teach you everything from fire preparedness, how to know what type of fire you have and how to put it out with which extinguisher, to things like how to shut off your water valve or your gas valve in case there is an emergency in your town. They also teach that it's very important to be prepared for yourself and take care of your family and then go out into the community and help out. But they teach it in a way that allows you to understand safety is always number one, safety for yourself first, and then safety for others. So there's tons of things that you can participate in. There's a citizencorp.gov, I believe, is the website that you can go to, and that covers everything from homeowners association to medical reserve corps. If you have any type of medical training, if there's a disaster or anything like that, they offer assistance. If there's maybe a need for deliverance of vaccines or shots, they set up pop-up tents to allow those things to happen in the community so that people can get the assistance that they need. So it would be a great resource for you to volunteer, and it would also be a great learning experience for you as well.
Yes, and that CERT program is pretty good. I actually took the one in Prince William County some years ago. That was pretty good, and I'm already certified in first aid, CPR, emergency services, emergency response, all of that stuff. But that's a phenomenal program. Could you also tell everybody that's listening or that listens to the show after how they can get in touch with you if they need any of these services or if they need any information or what have you, as far as your email, website, all of that stuff, please?
Absolutely. The easiest way to get in touch with me is via email. I'm often presenting and speaking or teaching. So the easiest way is email, and that's at info@allhearttraining.com. You can always attempt to call me on the phone as well, 703-565-7831. We do cover a lot of different social media, so we're on Facebook, facebook.com/allhearttraining. And we're also on Twitter, and that's All Heart Train on Twitter. But we offer so many different services. One of the things that we really are fighting to do is to meet people where they are. We really believe that people are more receptive to learning if we meet them in an environment that they're already comfortable with. We felt that a lot of people didn't learn CPR or emergency preparedness because they had to go to a strange building or a hospital setting, or even a police station. Believe it or not, that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Innocent, you know, well-behaved adults still become very uncomfortable getting training in a police station. So we actually do things that kind of make it unique. We offer CPR socials, and that's just a fun way to kind of get the information to you and get the information to your friend. One of the socials that we offer is called Bundle of Joy, and we actually are kind of attached to, you know, like if a mom is expecting, and we'll come in and, you know, she'll put her family and friends together, and we'll teach them about infant CPR in their home where the child is going to be with their friends and family, who the child is going to be, you know, passed around to. And it's one of those things that, you know, is priceless, because I know I feel much more comfortable leaving my children with people that understand emergency preparedness and know how to do CPR. But we also do things for kids. We do a lot of babysitting certification training for Girl Scouts, where they learn about different types of medication safety. They learn about kind of best practices in child behavior, how to do CPR, how to perform first aid. They learn about being a safe babysitter so that they feel comfortable in the situation. A lot of my girls, after the class, they no longer want to babysit because they didn't realize their responsibility. And to me, that's good, because that says that they didn't understand what all was involved in taking care of another life. And now they're responsible enough to say, you know what, I'm not ready. So we do tons of things like that. We even do what I call zombie parties. And this is typically for 8 to 12-year-olds. And we come out and we teach them about emergency preparedness. They get to make a little zombie kit, and it's really just a first aid kit, but it's got funky little Band-Aids and things like that. Just really trying to reach people where they are and what they do.
Outstanding. And ladies and gentlemen, this also pertains to all of you people out there that have book clubs, restaurants, all of these other places that are dealing with a lot of people. Being able to save somebody's life could be a real booster, especially as long as your food, if your restaurant wasn't the one that fixed it, but
yeah,
a real booster for your staff. Also, it's a motivational thing, and it's a chance for them to actually bond and get together. I got one other question for you, Nikki. I'm sorry, I keep saying Niecy, right?
Yes.
Niecy, sorry. Niecy, and that is, get ready for the apocalypse. How you come up with the apocalypse?
Well, originally this whole zombie apocalypse happened because CDC, we were trying to figure out how we could kind of get people ready. And, of course, a few years ago, zombies were huge. And, you know, I have some friends that still believe that there are zombies and things of that nature, and they're fun characters to be around. But really the purpose of this zombie apocalypse is to kind of just put a fun spin on a really serious situation. You know, when you think about things like Hurricane Katrina, you know, the problem wasn't so much in the systems that failed. The problem was in the prevention beforehand. I think that we are kind of, you know, overexposed sometimes with media about, you know, the next big storm and the next big this, and people kind of just are not really sensitive to it anymore. And a lot of people just stay put, whereas opposed to if they had, you know, just one 30-minute training on what things to look for to know that this is a time to leave. Or simple things. In Northern Virginia, I tell people all the time, or I ask them all the time, do you know how to get home if there's an emergency and you can't take the main route? So just knowing simple evacuation routes is also resourceful. So the whole apocalypse is just a spin on trying to get people informed in a very fun way, a very light manner, something that was kind of a really big fad, you know, a few years ago, that will just kind of get them thinking, get the gears turning in their head.
Right. And ladies and gentlemen, again, we all need to be prepared. Again, I was telling a story before, another time, about my brother was 41 years old, on his motorcycle, looked like he was in the greatest health under the sun, did bodybuilding, all of that. And one day he had raced some kid on his motorcycle. It was at night, turned around. And when he got to the top of the hill after he won the race, his lights were facing his friends. However, he wasn't coming back down the hill. So they thought he dropped his phone. They thought that maybe there was something wrong with the bike. So by the time they got around to actually starting up the hill, the bike fell over. The bike fell over. It was because my brother was having a massive coronary but couldn't scream out, couldn't ask for help. And then when his friends did get to him, not one of them knew CPR. Not one of them knew how to do anything to help him. So by the time the ambulance got there, my brother was pretty much done. So ladies and gentlemen, you really need to listen to what's being said. You need to share this show. You need to get in contact with Niecy, and you need to follow up and do what you need to do. Because, again, I'm sorry, when you need it, it's too late. You need to actually take the bull by the horns and do what's necessary. Please continue, Nikki. I just wanted to share that story because I lost my brother.
Absolutely. And what's so sad is that a lot of times people assume, well, there's nothing that I could have done anyway, but we don't know that. You know, we don't know that until after the fact. And, you know, one of the reasons that we do the socials is because most of these incidents happen with your families and friends. They don't happen in the hospital. They don't happen next to an AED machine. They happen at home in the comforts of your home or, you know, at your local diner or your favorite library. These things happen when you're with the people that you love and there's no medical attention on staff. And, you know, I always say it's really a big call to action. If you love the people you're around, love them enough to know CPR and first aid and tell them that you want them to love you enough to know the same thing. People don't realize until it happens to someone that they know, like yourself, the importance of groups and clubs and, you know, friends all knowing these skills because it's really a life and death matter.
Correct, because like I said, I know all of these skills, but my brother was in North Carolina, I was in Virginia. My knowing it did him no good. However, if his friends have known it, my brother might still be alive today. So again, I implore everybody that's listening to please share the link and the show with everybody that you possibly can and to get in touch with Niecy, and get in touch with her and use the services, the skills that she has to offer because it could save not only your life but the life of the people that you love. And by doing so, save your life too because these are the people that you hold dear. So love them enough to take that extra step. It's not always about money, all right? Sometimes it's just showing that you care.
I couldn't agree more.
What was one of the other things, like those defibrillators that you see in some buildings? You got offices where people have them. They don't check them. They don't even know they exist or how to use them.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, we do have to, I always say, you know, be your brother's keeper. And your brother could be a stranger, you know, in the middle of the mall. You just don't know. You don't know if the security guard, you know, got his card handed to him, you know, and slid somebody an extra $20 to kind of pass a checklist to get his job. You just don't know. It's too crucial of an issue to kind of just assume someone else will be there and someone else will help. And in fact, you give the situation that happened in California where the lady could not perform or did not perform CPR on a resident. Some policies in a lot of buildings and a lot of places state don't do anything. So you just never know.
Yeah, but it's better to err on the side of do than not do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Anyway, Nikki, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show and for sharing all of this information. Ladies and gentlemen, if the show is something that you liked and you'd like to share it with people, please do. The link will take you directly to that show. Also in the upper left-hand corner of the show, if you like what you hear in the Zurian Show, click follow, and you'll get notifications of future shows. Again, I want to thank Niecy for coming on, Ms. Niecy Bennett, the medical professional extraordinaire for blessing us with her time and also sharing some critical information with you. And also her contact information is actually at the bottom of the page. There is her website is there along with her email address. So if you want to get in touch with her after the show, just look at the bottom of the link and it's there. And could you just give us that email address and website one more time and then we'll sign off.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you again. The website is www.allhearttraining.com and the email is info@allhearttraining.com. And we're also on Facebook, and that's a great way to get daily tips on different things to do to be prepared.
Okay. Well, again, thank you very much for all your time and for sharing your heart's passion with us to help us save our hearts and all of the above. I truly appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon. So, again, Ms. Niecy Bennett, again, thank you for your time and all that you've done and your dedication.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on the show. We'll have to get you back again so we can go into more depth.
Absolutely.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to wrap up our show. Again, we had a phenomenal host, and she shared some phenomenal information with us all, and we all need to actually take some action on it. This isn't something that you wait for, ladies and gentlemen. This is something that you need to be doing right now. It doesn't matter if you're listening to the show live or you're listening to the show archived. If you're hearing the sound of our voice today, you should be going and contacting Niecy and Niecy and doing the things necessary to go ahead and get yourself ready and be prepared for your family. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening. Have a great and fantastic life and day, and take action. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You go ahead and do it. And as Niecy says with her motto is always prepare, always be prepared, and always be prepared. So let's go ahead and do the things that we need to do. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show. Take care.